notice you have a reminder in the back of the service sheet for the items for the harvest next week. So if you bring them here next Sunday, that would be great. All right? And then hand over straight to Richard. Thank you.
Oh, stop chatting over there.
You'll be in detention.
Detention. We're going to stop. Rita's going. Sung solo by me. Rita's gonna sing a solo on this one too. So,
tell me the stories of Jesus. I love to hear. I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Tears by the wayside, bells of the sea, stories of Jesus. Kindness keeps full. I'd follow the children's band, waving the branch of the palm tree high in my hand, worshipping Jesus. Yes, I would sing
to our Lord in believing prayer. Let us pray. O God, you are indeed a wonderful God, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And we enjoy your presence. We love speaking to you. And we know that when we come to you and we seek your will, you will always answer our prayers. We thank you for the privilege and the power of prayer. We thank you that we can rely on you at all times, for you are never engaged. You are always available. You are our comfort. You are our peace. You are our Saviour. Because, Father, it was you that sent your Son into this world. He, without sin, died in our place on the cross of Calvary. Oh, what a tremendous sacrifice that was. And Lord, we are amazed because salvation is available to all. Never mind our past. It's available to all who will repent and give their life to you. We thank you for the example and teaching of Jesus. We thank you for all that he means to us. And we remember that when he came back to you, O Father, he promised the gift of the Spirit. And we thank you that we know as believers, we can know the Spirit working in our lives. And yet, if we're honest, we look back. The Spirit was working in our lives before we even knew you. It was the Spirit that convicted us of our sin and of our need of a Saviour. And so, Lord, we thank you, Father, Son, and Spirit, for all that you mean to each one of us. We pray for the world you created. We pray for the leaders of the nations. We pray for all in authority. Lord, give them your wisdom, we pray. May they accept that wisdom. May they live in accordance with the way that you wanted them to be. Lord, we pray for an end to war, to all acts of terrorism. We pray, Lord, that peace shall reign and that everyone shall acknowledge that you are the true King, the King of Kings, the wonder of the world. We pray for our own country. We pray for those in authority here. Lord, give to them your wisdom too, we pray. And Lord, we pray at this difficult time for our royal family. Tomorrow, Lord, is going to be very hard for them. They will be there at the service for Our Majesty, our former Queen. But Lord, she is also their mother, their grandmother, their loved ones. And although they will stand there for the nation, although they will sit in that service, Lord, we know that for them there is that personal loss, and we pray that you would be their comfort. And Lord, as that service takes place, and we give thanks once again for our former Queen, Lord, we want to praise you for her life. But Lord, more than that, we want to follow the example that she has left us, an example of servanthood. Lord, we are called to be your servants, and we pray you would help us that we might be true disciples serving you, Lord. And Lord, one of the great commissions that we've been given is to share the truth of the gospel with others. And so, Lord, whether it's by tongue, whether it's by what we do, if it's by example, whether it's by prayer, may we be faithful to the call to share your love with those who do not know you. And Lord, as we continue to worship you now, we pray that the Spirit will challenge us. We pray that we may listen, that we might obey, that we might be faithful to you in every way. Lord, we have no secrets from you. You know all about our lives, our faults. You know about our hopes and our fears. But above all, you are there for us at all times. And so we bless you, and we bring our prayers in the wonderful name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us join together in the family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Richard.
When choosing these, we had the late Queen in mind, and Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven was meant to be her favourite, or well said to be her favourite hymn. And with the other ones, we're thinking of qualities that she exhibited, and this one is Meekness and Majesty.
Yeah. and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God, Lord of eternity, dwells in humanity, kneels in humility, and washes our feet. Oh, what a mystery, meekness and majesty, bow down and worship. Conquering through sacrifice, and as they crucify, may Father forgive. Oh, what a mystery, meekness and majesty, bow down and worship, for this is your God.
Rachel, for the reading. Thank you, Rachel.
The reading is of Genesis 2, verses 1-13. That's favoritism forbidden. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favour. It is a favouritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring, fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor at my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
So we're now going to go on to, Lord, I come before your throne of grace. What a faithful God we have.
Continuing in our series in James and looking at the section that Rachel read for us, James 2, verses 1 to 13. The title, Practicing the Truth. That's what James is really trying us to encourage to do, to practice the truth. The mature Christian is not only patient when tested, but they also practice the truth. Immature people talk about their beliefs, but the mature person lives by their faith. The theme of chapter 2 is about practicing the truth. You see, James wanted to help us to practice God's word. So we gave it a simple test. Two visitors at church service, a rich man and a poor man. How were they treated? The way that we behave towards people indicates what we really believe about God. We must not separate human relationships from divine fellowship. That's a challenge, isn't it? 1 John 4, verse 20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. In this section of chapter 2, James examines four basic Christian doctrines in the light of the way we treat other people. So number one deals with the deity of Christ, verses 1 to 4. As believers, we must not show favoritism. The Jews coveted recognition and competed with one another for praise. And Jesus condemned this as hypocrisy. So the same problems are found in the church today, sadly. There are pyramid climbers, not only in politics, industry, and society, but also in the church. Almost every church has its cliques, and often new Christians find it hard to get in. Some members use their own office to enhance their own images of importance. James did not respect such persons. Our Lord did not look at the outward appearance. He looked at the heart. We are apt to judge people by their past and not by their future. The early church was afraid to receive Paul because of his past. And yet look how God used Paul. Jesus was despised and rejected, yet he is the very glory of God. When people come into our churches today, we are inclined to judge them by their dress, their colour of skin, their fashion, and other superficial things, rather than the fruit of the Spirit, which may indeed be revealed in their lives, and we miss that. We cater for the rich because we hope to get something out of them. We avoid the poor to save their embarrassment. How do we practice the deity of Christ? How do we practice it in our human relationships? It is simple. We are to look at everyone through the eyes of Christ. Look at everyone as Jesus would look upon them. And the second one is the grace of God, verses 5 to 7. And the emphasis here is on God's choices. And this, of course, involves the grace of God. You see, God ignores national differences, for instance, Jews and Gentiles. God ignores social differences, masters and slaves, rich and poor. When Jesus died, he broke down the wall that separated the Jews and the Gentiles. God ignores social differences, for instance, masters and slaves, rich and poor. And when Jesus died, he broke down the wall that separated the Jews and Gentiles. And in his life, he broke down the walls between the rich, the poor, the young and the old, the educated and the uneducated. It is wrong, my friends, for us to rebuild those walls again. We cannot rebuild them if we believe in the very grace of God. And then the next one is the Word of God, verses 8 to 11. In recent years, believers have argued over the inspiration and authority of the Word of God. It is good to defend the truth, but perhaps the best way is not to argue about it, but to live it. James speaks about the command to love our neighbours, and love is the fulfilling of the law. There will be no need for many laws if people truly loved their neighbours. Hatred makes a person a slave, but love sets them free. Christian love does not mean you like a person and agree with them on everything. Oh no. We may not like their vocabulary or their habits. We may not want a person as an intimate friend. But Christian love means treating others the way that God has treated us. Also, Christian love does not leave the person where we found them. Oh no. Love should help the poor man to do better. Love should help the rich man to make better use of their resources. God loves and he builds. And our love always builds where hatred always tears down. So, if we cannot love our neighbour as ourselves, tell me, how can we obey the lesser matters of God's word? We must love our neighbours. And the last one, number 4, is the judgment of God. Often we don't like talking or thinking about judgment. When we look at the Christian faith, we see reference to the return of Jesus and the final judgment that is to come. Now, not all Christians agree about the details of our Lord's return, but no one can deny the truth of both. There is judgment to come. For instance, A, our words will be judged. How carelessly we speak sometimes. The word we speak comes from the heart. So when God judges our words, he will also be examining our hearts. And then there's our deeds, B. Our deeds will be judged. We receive forgiveness, oh yes, but the damage of our sin is already done. And then there's our attitudes, see. Our attitudes will be judged. James talks about showing mercy and refusing to show mercy. Before we condemn others for the things that they believe, let us make sure that we practice what we believe. And you know, I think one of the greatest challenges to preachers, but it's also a challenge to all believers, that we must practice what we preach. We must live the life that we know God has called us to live. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, we need to help them maybe to change. We may not like, as we said a moment ago, their vocabulary. So yes, we can help them to grow. We can help them to be a better person. But we are still to love them from the very start. there is that story of a minister, a clergyman. The service was being led by someone else. Suddenly, a tramp came into the church. Nobody sat near him, nobody wanted to know. He looked terrible. Later in the service, he stood up and he said to him, "Why have you treated me like this? Do you not realize that I am your minister? I am your vicar. But because of my clothes, you rejected me." What a challenge. How do we judge other people? How do we live in accordance with the way that God wants us to live? How do we practice the truth? God knows, and may we seek always to be better disciples. And to God be the glory. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we love you. We love your word. We read your word. We study your word. But Lord, help us at all times to practice the truth, to practice your word, to practice the things that Jesus has left us as an example, if we are indeed true disciples. Lord, may we be empty of self. May we be full of the Spirit. And may the fruit of the Spirit be seen in our lives. And to you, O Lord, be the glory. Amen. Over to Richard.
Well, we're going to end with Only by Grace. And there's also a bonus song which didn't make it to the email to Bruce for a technical reason. But everybody knows it's Majesty. So please join in if you can.
Presence you draw.
Majesty is not on this sheet.
Yes, yes, you did say that. For technical reasons. He hasn't paid the bill, I expect.
Right. Just a reminder of next week. The songs will be in connection with the Harvest Festival. We will still look at James. And if you can bring your gifts, that would be great. We've got two readings, one remembering God's provision and the other from James. Now let us join together and say the grace. The grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.